Thank you, brothers and sisters, for that ministry in song and how we need that quiet time alone with the Lord each day. And that'll fit in with the challenge for this morning. If you have your Bibles there, please turn with me to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 10. Last week we looked at Psalm 27 and a lesson for the new year. And if the Lord would have us continue that this morning with another challenge for the new year. And we're focusing on that theme of one thing. One thing. Many worldly resolutions are made at this time of year, but it would be good for us at the start of this new year to pause, to think back over the previous year, and to consider some godly resolutions, some resolutions that we should make in our Christian lives. And there certainly is a place for that. New year, new start. Think about the past year, some of the things we've learned, maybe some of the areas where we failed the Lord and confess that. But then looking forward to the new year and how God might have his hand upon us. And we find that in the Bible there are several godly individuals who aimed at one thing. Aimed at one thing. They were focused in their walk with God and they were blessed as a result. And so last week we looked at David's one thing in Psalm 27. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire at his temple. And so we see there the truth of one passion, that David had one passion in his life to be close to God, to be in the house of God, to be in fellowship with God and in the presence of God. Well, today we're going to look at another one thing, and this time in the life of Mary in the New Testament. Not Mary, the mother of Christ, but Mary, the sister of Martha and sister to Lazarus, one Christian lady we are well acquainted with from the Bible. So, Luke chapter 10, and we're going to read from verse 38 and down to verse 42, and then we're going to pray as we look at the need to have one priority. So last week we looked at the need to have one passion. This week we look at the need to have one priority, communion with God, and Mary is our example there. Now it came to pass, verse 38, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost not thou care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but, what does that say? One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Let's pray and ask for the Lord's help this morning and for his stirring in our hearts. Lord, we pray for your help and your blessing. Lord, every time this book is opened, it presents to us the wonderful opportunity of hearing your voice and being changed by the power of your Spirit. And Lord, my desire this morning as the preacher is to be a help to the people of God, Lord, to be your vessel. Lord, someone you can work through. And so we pray that that might be our experience this morning. We pray for that necessary unction and utterance to speak your word. And Lord, that you might stir us up at the start of 2024 to get our focus upon the things of God. Stir our hearts, Lord. Revive us, renew us, and revive us in this area of sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus, Lord. Sometimes we can be just like Martha, so busy, 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 Lord, that we neglect to take time to sit at your feet. So challenge us this morning, encourage us, and bless us, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. Let's just try and set the scene for a moment. The Lord Jesus Christ comes to this little village called Bethany. And Bethany is located about 3 kilometres from Jerusalem. So it's not far from Jerusalem at all. John's Gospel tells us that it was 15 furlongs, which works out to be just over 3 kilometres in the way we do measurement here. And Bethany was located on the southeastern slopes of the Mount of Olives. So if you're standing on the Temple Mount looking back over at the Mount of Olives, you can see the front of the Mount of Olives, it would be to your right over on that side towards the back of the Mount of Olives. And it was an important little town because the main road from Jericho went through Bethany, and it was kind of like the last stop before Jerusalem. And so it was often a place where pilgrims would stop perhaps to get supplies or do different things. And then you would take the rise up there over the Mount of Olives, seeing the holy city and making your way down through the Kidron Valley and over into the city of Jerusalem. But in this town of Bethany, there was a special home. It was the house of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, three siblings. And the Lord Jesus Christ developed a special friendship with this household. We know that from the Bible. We can see that it was a place where the Lord Jesus would go to at times. The Bible specifically mentions in John chapter 11 that Christ loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And so the Lord Jesus had a special attachment to these three siblings and spent time in that home. Well, we come to one of these accounts where the Lord Jesus comes to the house of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, and he's probably on his way back from Jericho, back towards Jerusalem, and he stops in there for some rest and probably for the night and so on. And so there were several notable Bible events that took place in this little town of Bethany. There's the account before us today. There's the raising of Lazarus. Remember how Lazarus, Martha and Mary's sister, brother, died, and how the Lord raised him from the dead. Pardon me. There was the feast at the house of Simon the leper, quite a notable story in the Bible as well. And then Christ even ascended from near Bethany, according to Luke chapter 24, 50 to 53, because it says he took them as far as Bethany, and then he rose up out of their sight. And so this was a significant little place, and this is the place and the scene where our account takes place today in the Gospel of Luke and chapter 10, the section before us. And so we want to study this, and we want to learn something about Mary's heart for the Lord and some lessons that we can learn at the start of 2024 about that need to have one thing in our lives. And in Mary, we see her focus on communion with God. She chose that good part, that very necessary part in her life. And so I'm going to give you an outline that I trust will help us as we seek to go through this little section and this important little story this morning. Number one, I want you to observe Mary's devotion. Look at Mary's devotion for a moment in verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Mary was a woman who is noted in the Bible for her devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. We could say that Mary was a worshipper. Mary was a worshipper. Here we find her drawing close to the Lord and sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. You remember later on in John chapter 12, Mary was the one who came and broke that beautiful alabaster back box of ointment and poured that on the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and wiped his feet with her hair, an act of worship there to the Lord Jesus Christ, because she had discerned that the Lord Jesus was going to die. Quite remarkable, really, when you consider the fact that the disciples couldn't get it into their heads, even though the Lord Jesus told them so many times, "I'm going to the cross, I'm going to die." They didn't seem to get it, but Mary, this worshipful, devoted lady, understood, "My Lord's going to die," and she came to anoint his body aforehand for the burial, the Lord Jesus said. And so Mary was a very special lady. She was a worshipful lady, and she sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus. You know, the secret to Mary's life was this: she kept her head near his feet. She kept her head near the Savior's feet. Here you have her sitting at the feet of Jesus. Later on, you have her anointing the feet of Christ and even wiping his feet with her hair. And may I say, that's a wonderful and a very important place to be in the Christian life. It's the place of humility. It's the place of submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. So often we get puffed up in pride, don't we, in the Christian life? But the best place for us to be is to have our heads near the feet of the Lord Jesus. And so Mary is noted for her devotion. She was a worshipper. But also, we could say she was a learner. She not only sat at the feet of Jesus, but the Bible says she heard his words. And that word, heard, is in the imperfect tense, which means she heard and she went on hearing and she went on hearing. And so it shows that she was sitting there attentively at the feet of the Lord Jesus, actively listening to his words, taking it in, hanging on every word. And so she was a learner. And this was the posture of a learner in those days. You would sit at the feet of the teacher. Remember how Paul recounted in Acts 22:3 that he was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. And so that's the picture of sitting at the feet of the Lord, sitting at the feet of the teacher, that position of humility and that position of a learner. And this is what we're going to really see, and we'll get into this more as we go, but this is really the secret of Mary's life, is that she sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus. She took that time to sit at the Lord Jesus' feet and to hear his words. She took the time to draw close to the Lord Jesus. She took the time to spend in fellowship with the Lord Jesus. And if there's one thing that we're going to need to do throughout 2024, it's to have that special place in our lives. It's to have that quiet place in our lives where we set aside the cares of this life and all the things that are going on and sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Now, the Lord Jesus is not here physically, but we can still sit at his feet and we can hear from the living word as he speaks to us through the written word, how we need that quiet place that that our brothers and sisters just sang about. We need that quiet time alone with God. We need to learn to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus in our lives. So we could say, as we apply this, we need to sit at the feet of Jesus in our daily walk. We need to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus in our daily walk. Let me challenge you this morning. Do you have a daily time that you spend with the Lord Jesus? Do you have a daily time when you open his word and you listen to him speak to you? Do you have a daily time where you fellowship with the Lord and speak to him in prayer? You know, that's so important. In fact, it's the key to the Christian life. It's the very heart and soul of the Christian life. We need to sit at the feet of Jesus in our daily walk. It's important for families to take time to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus, to have that time set aside, hopefully in the morning or in the evening, around the meal, to bring the family before the feet of the Lord Jesus, as it were, to read something from the Word of God and to pray. This is the heartbeat of the Christian life. We need to sit at the feet of Jesus in our daily walk. We need to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus in our weekly worship. So we need this time in our daily walk, but we also need that weekly worship time where we come before the feet of the Lord Jesus as a body of believers in the local church. Isn't that actually why we come? We come not to sit at first and foremost at the feet of the pastor. We come to hear something from the Lord through his word, and all the pastor is hopefully a vessel of the Lord. If he's in tune with God and if he's giving you the word of God, he's simply a vessel through which the Lord Jesus can speak to you and the Holy Spirit can speak to you through the word of God. That is why we come to church, and that's why, by the way, we should, as Mary did, learn to listen intently. That's the picture here. She's hanging on every word. She wants to hear what the Lord Jesus would say to her. And please bear that in mind when you come to church. Try and have that mindset. Lord, what would you have to say to me today? Lord, would you speak to me through this message? In fact, that would be a wonderful prayer to pray, wouldn't it? Before the sermon starts, Lord, help me to focus now. Lord, help my heart to be in tune. And Lord, would you give me something that I need today? How precious is God and his word to us? Clearly, for Mary, it was precious. The word of Christ was precious. She's sitting and hearing his word. She's hanging on every word from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're going to walk with God this year, we're going to have to be a people who hang on every word, as it were. A people who saturate our lives in the word of God. A people who put a priority on sitting at the feet of Jesus in our daily walk and in our weekly worship. You know, too many Christians today spend more time sitting at the feet of the television set than the feet of the Lord Jesus. Too many Christians today spend more time sitting at the feet of pop stars and movie stars than they do sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus and learning from him. Too many people today, too many Christians today, sit at the feet of ungodly authors more than they sit at the feet of the author of authors, the Lord Jesus, the living word who gave us the written word. It's a problem, isn't it? Maybe that'd be a good resolution to make, by the way, for 2024, to have less time on the phone and more time at the feet of Jesus. I preach to myself as well as you this morning. That would be a good resolution to make, wouldn't it? Lord, help us to get us away from the distractions. Lord, help us to focus on you. By the way, if you're going to have a fruitful devotional life, you'll have to put that device out of reach. You'll have to put it on silent. If you've got that thing buzzing away at you, you're not going to hear Christ's words. You're not going to get anything out of your Bible time. You're going to be distracted. Your mind is going to be fragmented. You've got to put that aside and sit and focus upon the Lord Jesus. More time with the Savior than the smartphone. Here's a really convicting question that I think would convict all of us. When we get up in the morning, do we reach first for our Bibles or our phones? It's easy to get into the habit, isn't it? Reach for the phone. Maybe we should start the day with the Savior rather than the smartphone. Maybe that would be a good resolve for 2024, to come and to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus more, to hear his word. And so we see Mary's devotion. She was devoted to the Lord Jesus. She sat at his feet and heard his word. May God help us to have that same spirit of devotion in 2024. But I want you to look, number two, at Martha's distress. And really what we're doing here is looking at each character in the story. We've looked at Mary's devotion. We're going to consider Martha's distress and then the Master's discourse, the Lord Jesus. And so look at Martha for a moment. Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha's on her feet. And boy, is Martha a busy bumblebee. And I don't know about you, but I really identify with Martha. I can just see myself in Martha so often. In fact, I often pray, Lord, help me not to have the Martha spirit today in my approach to your service. But as we look at Martha in this account, I think we can see several things taking place. We can see several things in her life. I think we can see, firstly, dedication. And there's something positive here before we get into the negatives. I think we can see dedication in Martha because the Bible says in verse 38, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." Before we go too hard on Martha, the Bible tells us here that she received the Lord into her house. That tells you something of her heart. And clearly she was close to the Lord because in John 11 it says that Christ loved her and her sister Mary and Lazarus. And while she got some things wrong here, I think at the core of it, she did have a heart to serve the Lord. She was so, in fact, I think she probably was consumed with trying to outdo herself because she so honored the Lord Jesus. He meant so much to her that she wanted to give him the very best service that she possibly could in the home while he was there. In fact, the word received, interestingly, means to admit under one's roof or to receive as a guest. So here we find that Martha has a heart to be hospitable and she has a heart to be helpful. And before we get into the lesson we've got to learn about what she got wrong, we could pause there and say that's a wonderful spirit to have. To have a heart to be hospitable and to have a heart to be helpful to serve the Lord Jesus Christ is a commendable thing, it's an honourable thing, and yea, it's a very biblical thing. As we go through here, don't get the message that serving Christ passionately is not something for our Christian lives. In fact, Titus chapter 2 says that God wants a people who are zealous of good works. God wants us to have a passion to serve him. There's nothing wrong with having a passion to serve him. There is a problem, though, when our service replaces or displaces a very important thing in our lives, that one thing that's needful. You see, the Lord Jesus is not just concerned about the quantity of our service. He is concerned about the quality of our service. And the Lord Jesus is concerned about the spirit behind our service. And the Lord Jesus is concerned that we do service for him in his power with the right spirit and for the right motive. Our ministry for Christ needs to be an outflow of our time with Christ. Our service for Christ needs to be an outflow of our worship of Christ and our time at his feet. Mary's problem, Martha's problem, was her approach to her service and the fact that it was service at the neglect of something very important. So as we look at Martha, we can see dedication. But there's a problem here. We can see number two, distraction. Do you ever get distracted? But Martha, see the but there, introducing there's something wrong. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, verse 39, and heard his word, verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him, that's to Christ, and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. There's something wrong there, isn't there? Distracted. Martha was clearly distressed here and distracted by a couple of things, several things, two things actually. I think we could say she was distracted and distressed by, number one, the mental burden of her service. The mental burden of her service, and notice there it says she was cumbered about much serving. The word cumbered there means to be burdened down. Do you ever feel burdened down by the to-do list? Just one? Okay, that's good. We'll have some fellowship afterwards. How many of you ever feel burdened by the to-do list in your life? Absolutely. You say, what does the word cumbered mean? Well, we use the word cumbersome sometimes, a cumbersome load. Okay, something that's cumbersome, something that's difficult to handle. Okay, we understand that. So she's weighed down, she's burdened down. In fact, the word in the Greek literally means to be pulled in different directions, to be pulled or drawn away. It means to be driven about mentally, to be distracted or too busy in a thing. Do you ever feel pulled in every direction? If you're a parent, you know what that means. To be pulled, there's a need over here, and then you get pulled in this direction and pulled in that direction. And it's not hard because we're human to start getting frazzled and to start getting mentally distracted and mentally distressed over all that there is to do. It needs to be drawn away. There's a problem though, isn't it? Isn't there? When instead of our service drawing us to the Lord, it's drawing us away from the Lord. There's something wrong with that picture. Martha's trying to serve the Lord, but she's being drawn away from the Lord. And Christian service is absolutely important, so long as it's an outflow of our walk with the Lord. But if our service for the Lord ever gets to the point where it's driving us away from the Lord, then we're in big trouble. I've even told people before, there is a time sometimes, there's a season sometimes in life, depending on what's going on, for you to take a step back from a ministry, get your life sorted out with the Lord, and so you can step back in. Now, if you stay stepped out forever, that's probably not a good thing. You're on the wrong track. But there are sometimes seasons in life where you've got to trust the Lord and make sure that your walk with the Lord is what it should be, so that then you can be useful in God's service. Oh, you can see Martha there. She's busy, busy, busy. I mean, she's in the kitchen making food. It's going to be a three-course meal. It's going to be just right. And she's sweeping the floor. And there's a cloud of dust there. And she's buzzing all over the place. Are you one of those buzzy bees? Are you one of those energizer bunnies who becomes a terrorizing rabbit? Some people are like that. Oh, I'm just a pumped up energizer bunny. Yes, and the energizer bunny can become a terrorizing rabbit. She was distracted by the burden of her service. The problem was she was trying to carry that burden instead of giving the Lord that burden and then allowing the Lord to accomplish his work through her. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he will sustain thee. Could I encourage you, if you've got lots of burdens in your life at the moment, kneel down and literally give them all to the Lord and talk to him about each one of them. Lord, I'm burdened in the area of my finances. I'm handing it to you. Lord, I'm burdened with these family needs at the moment. I'm giving them to you. Lord, these are the ministry needs. And just go through the list and hand the burdens over to the Lord. And guess what he'll do? He'll start sustaining you. The Lord will start working through you. The problem is when we as Martha say, I've got this. I'm going to carry this. I'm going to get this all sorted. I mean, Martha was going to get it all sorted out. And she was just working her way in her own strength. And she began to miss the whole point of why she was serving. She was distracted by the mental burden of service. She was distracted by the magnitude of her service. The Bible says she was cumbered here about much serving. Martha had a lot on her plate. Do you? I just wonder, I don't know. I just wonder if in her zeal to serve the Lord, she actually went, maybe added things onto her plate that didn't need to be there. Maybe it wasn't necessary for her to go to such lengths. Maybe she could have simplified things a little bit. You know, it's a danger, isn't it, that sometimes we can deceive ourselves with a false sense of spirituality because we are doing so much for God. That's a trap. We can actually deceive ourselves into feeling like we're all okay in the Christian life simply because we're busy, busy, busy. And again, there's nothing sinful with being busy for the Lord. In fact, look at Christ's life and how busy he was. But don't forget, he got up a great while before day and spent time with the Heavenly Father. That was the secret. Don't forget that he spent time. There were times when he went away into a mountain. It's not actually a sin to get away from the crowd sometimes and to, if you can, get away from it all and just spend time alone. It's actually good to spend time alone with the Lord sometimes. Actually, you must have time alone with the Lord. And you've got to find that time. And it can be hard, can't it, as a busy mother with all those children. But you've got to ask God for wisdom and find somewhere in the day or in the evening or in the morning where you can find quiet time alone with God. So sometimes we can feel we're being spiritual because of doing so much for the Lord, all the while neglecting to fellowship with God and walk with God. Is that you? I know it's me sometimes. And again, there's nothing wrong with serving, so long as serving doesn't cause us to lose sight of the Savior. I mean, can't you see what's happening here? Who's she serving? Well, she's trying to serve the Lord, but she's become so wrapped up in what she's doing, she's lost sight of the very one she's trying to serve, and she comes and blasts the Lord Jesus. She's missed it. How many of you have ever had a car engine overheat on you? It's not a nice experience, is it? One way that can happen is if there's not enough oil. My dad and my father-in-law always ask me, have you checked your oil? On a long trip, and usually I haven't, but the old school, they always want, have you checked your oil and water, Simeon? You take the oil out of the car engine and it gets very hot. Things start to break, metal against metal. And you're going to be by the side of the road in no time at all. And if we lose the sweet oil of the Spirit of God out of our service, drawn from our walk with God, it's the same thing. We start to run hot in the self-life. Things start to get dry and hot and brittle, and things start to make noise, and there's bangs, and there's banging, and there's popping going on, and that's what can happen in our lives. That's exactly what's happening in Martha's life. It's not the fact that she wanted to serve the Lord that was the problem, but she was going about it all wrong. So as we look at Martha in this account, we can see dedication, yes, but we see distraction. Distracted from the Lord, all the while trying to serve the Lord. That's not a good place to be in. But there's a third thing we can see here in Martha's life. And I call that frustration. Look back at verse 40 again. So we see distraction, but also frustration. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. I think you'd agree with me, there's something wrong in Martha's spirit here. Who did she just speak to? The Lord Jesus. And you get the picture. The Bible says she came to the Lord there and just blurted that out. So we see Martha expressing frustration both towards the Lord and towards Mary. But think about that first. She expressed frustration at the Lord. Lord, dost thou not care? And as you look at this episode between Mary and the Lord, I think we could just say a few things here. Between Martha and the Lord, I think we could say a number of things about this. Martha was abrupt. The Bible says she came to him. The whole picture here is her. You can just see her coming out of the kitchen, as it were, and coming up to that tranquil scene. Some people have a gift of interrupting tranquil scenes. And here's Mary sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus, and she's hearing his words. My dad used to say, it's hard to soar up there with the eagles when you're stuck down here with the turkeys. And that's probably speaking as a father of 9 children, I suppose. But it can be hard, can't it, the interruptions, and there's always someone to jerk you back out of the heavenlies and back down to earth. But here, Martha was like that, and she comes up. She came to the Lord. There was an abruptness in Martha's spirit there. In fact, I would just say that Martha was rude to the King of Kings here. And when we're serving the Lord with the wrong spirit, when it's from the wrong motive, when we've got our service for the Savior wrong, we're going to become rude and abrupt in our manner with others. Internal tension and unrest will eventually lead to outward displays of tension and unrest and fleshly anger. If there's all that commotion going on inside, that was the problem. It didn't express itself straight away. You can see the heat rising in Martha as she works her way around the kitchen and glances angrily towards Mary and the Lord Jesus from time to time. And she's fuming there and her spirit's wrong. And then eventually that bursts out on others. That can happen in the local church, can't it? If you're approaching your spirit, your service with the wrong spirit, if you haven't been walking with God during the week and you come to serve the Lord in the local church, and you haven't been walking with God, you're going to be a sitting duck to be this kind of Christian where you just blow lava over other people. How often have I said it? If we could just have a sweet spirit. A sweet and gracious spirit in the family and in the local church. Where do you get a sweet spirit from? The Savior. Spending time with the Savior, allowing Him to sweeten your service and to strengthen your service. When you're abrupt and rude to people, there's something wrong with your Christian walk. I'm serious. You come and you're abrupt and rude in your complaint about something in the local church, there's something wrong with that kind of spirit. There's the right spirit to bring a problem to the attention of leadership, isn't there? There's the right spirit, but there's the wrong spirit. Martha was abrupt. Number two, Martha was accusing. She was accusing, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? That's a pretty big allegation to make at the Lord. Don't you care, Lord? Don't you care, Lord, that I've been left alone to serve? So, how unspiritual of Martha to say that. Have you ever been exasperated at the Lord? Have you ever said, Lord, why me? Lord, I've got so much to do and this appliance just broke. Lord, with my to-do list and the shower head just fell off this week. It's all right, just to turn the thing down and use the hose pipe instead. But anyway, and I'm just saying, by the grace of God, I was studying this message and being convicted all week, so I didn't get angry at the Lord. The Lord put this message in my heart this week. I'm like, Lord, do I have to? I'm going to be so convicted preaching this, getting ready for this message because I know I'm guilty in certain areas. Yeah, that's right. Martha, but the point is here, she's accusing the Lord of being uncaring towards her. And if our spirit's wrong about the to-do list, even if we don't vocalize it, in our hearts we can get angry at the Lord, frustrated at the Lord. I think we need to remember who we're speaking to, don't we? Now, there's a right spirit. We can bring doubts to the Lord and deal with those, but you understand here, venting our frustration. Why on earth, Lord, are you allowing this to happen? Well, maybe because Martha's plan's not the Lord's plan for the day. Maybe all those things that you were planning to get done, the Lord's got something else on the list. For those of us who are task-orientated, we do have to be careful about making a God out of our to-do list and just shutting the Lord out of our day. Someone shows up and you've got all these things you've got to do. Well, maybe the Lord wants you to put that list to one side and minister to that person who has a need. Accusing. You just don't care. Frustration at the Lord. I think we could also say that Martha was assertive. Listen to what she says to the Lord here. Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Hang on a second. She's commanding the Lord. Lord, you tell Mary. Talk about bad blood between sisters. I mean, here's Mary sitting there. She doesn't talk to Mary. Lord, you tell her. You know someone's really angry when they say that in your presence. So-and-so, tell her, tell him what I, tell him this. It's like, well, I'm right here. Why won't you talk to me? I'm not talking to you. You tell him. You don't do that, but yeah, it happens sometimes. But here she is being assertive with the Lord. She's giving orders to the Lord instead of getting her orders from the Lord. In fact, Martha was trying to get the Lord of the universe on board with her program rather than submitting to his plan. We're very good at doing that. We want to get the Lord of the universe on board with our plan, but maybe we haven't stopped to ask whether that's really his plan. Lord, is this your plan? Or, Lord, I think this is what you want me to get done, but I'll just surrender it right now. You lead. A fleshly my way or the highway assertiveness in Christian service is just wrong. Some people are like that. Assertive. Now, I'm not saying everyone has to be yes men and yes women. There's a place to put forward a suggestion in the right spirit. There's a place to contribute in the work of God. Not a problem. But a fleshly my way or the highway assertiveness can be an indicator of a spirit and an approach to Christian service that is just not right. 2024, don't be assertive in a fleshly sense with one another. Don't be assertive and pushy with church leadership in a fleshly sense. By all means, approach the preachers about something. By all means, make a spirit-filled suggestion. But there's a world of difference between a gracious suggestion to an authority versus a carnal demand. Martha was assertive. I think when we really get to the core of this, I think we could say that Martha was self-absorbed. Please look for the little word me there. Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Can you see how the self-life is getting in the way of her service? The self-life is creeping into her service. Me, Lord. Me. Hang on, Martha. I thought this was supposed to be all about the Lord Jesus. Is it all about the Lord Jesus or is it all about you? And what had actually happened was Martha's service had become all about Martha. It had become all about her rather than the Lord. Listen, if your Christian service becomes about you rather than about the Lord, you're on the wrong track. It's not about you. It's not about me. We can sometimes simply be too big in the picture. That happens in the Christian life to all of us. and the self-life gets bound up in our service, you know, something we need to pray again and again, Lord, keep the self-life out of my service. Lord, make my motives for serving you in that church ministry pure. Lord, I bring to your feet those prideful thoughts that just entered my mind. In reality, I'm nothing, I'm nobody, I need your help. We have to do that because we're naturally proudful and we can just become, it can become all about us. True? Me. Me. The self-life wrapped up in our service. So Martha expressed frustration at the Lord. Lord, dost thou not care? But she also expressed frustration at Mary. She says, my sister hath left me to serve alone. Now, even though Martha was directing her comments to the Lord here, there was a clear barb intended for Mary, wasn't there? a clear jab. You know, when we serve the Lord in the wrong spirit, not only do we grieve the Lord, but we start to hurt those closest to us. As we vent our anger, as we vent our frustration, as we vent our stress. Are you a stress head person? Some people get into that zone. They're just a stress head. And you don't realize it, but you're hurting everybody around you as you dump your stress on them. And as you spew out the wrong kind of spirit, and it's just so hard, and I've got to get this done, I've got to get that done. And that's exactly what happened. Poor sensitive Mary here wasn't doing anything wrong. I don't believe she was a lazy woman, or the Lord would have probably reproved her. She had actually got it right. She'd worked out that it was actually time to sit at the Lord's feet because the Lord was speaking. Perhaps there were even others in the house there, quite possible, listening to his words. And she worked out, no, this is the time to sit and to hear Christ's words. She was on board with the Lord Jesus program. Martha was off on her own program. But here you have Martha now comes in, super choleric there, and just blows all over her sister and basically says she's not helping. She's left me to serve alone. We can grieve the Lord and we can grieve others if our approach to Christian service is not right. And if you're serving the Lord in a carnal fashion and you're neglecting your walk with God, you're going to misunderstand the Spirit-filled believer. You're going to misunderstand the Spirit-filled believer. Let me ask you this question. When you come into contact with someone who is consecrated to Christ, someone who's really devoted to Christ, do you feel encouraged or annoyed by that person? Encouraged or annoyed? Number three. Let's look at the master's discourse here in verse 41 and 42. How does the Lord Jesus respond to all of this? We've looked at Mary and her devotion. We've looked at Martha and her distress. Look at the Lord Jesus, the Master, and hear his discourse now. What does he have to say about this? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. As we look at the words of Christ here, as we look at his discourse, we note they contain several important things. They contain, number one, a profound insight. A profound insight. Here we have the diagnosis from the great physician of Martha's heart problem with perfect accuracy. Now, the Lord's going to correct Martha here, but don't forget that he loves Martha. There's love behind this. There's compassion. He says, Martha, Martha. There's tenderness in those words. There's compassion in those words, but probably the Lord's also trying to get her attention because she needs to be snapped out of it. Martha, Martha. You notice the Lord sometimes when he's saying something important to someone repeats their name. Simon, Simon. Martha, Martha. Does the Lord ever have to do that to you? Simeon, Simeon. Usually your wife's the echo. The Lord says it first, then your wife repeats it. Simeon, Simeon. Seth, Seth. Daniel, Daniel. So I heard one preacher say that. He said, normally, whatever the Lord's trying to tell the husband, the wife just repeats it. Sometimes it goes the other way too. Ladies, don't get too excited there. But is that maybe what the Lord needs to do to you? Stop. Slow down. Think. Mary, Martha, you're careful and troubled. See how the Lord just puts his finger right on the heart of the problem. Her heart was filled with two things. It was filled with care and it was filled with commotion. Thou art careful. Her heart was filled with care. That word means anxious. The word careful there means anxious or worried. It's an old English word. We don't tend to use the word careful in that way as much anymore. But it's in old English, it means to be anxious, to be worried. You know, it's not God's will for you to go through life constantly paralyzed by worry, constantly anxious about everything. That's not the kind of Christian life God has for you. And all of us can be subject to worry and fear, but some of us are particularly wired that way. The Lord says, Martha, you're just so full of care and you're so full of worry. Philippians 4, 6 to 7 encourages us, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything the Bible's saying. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, if you'll do the first part, the Lord will uphold his part in the second part of the verse there. If you will bring your burdens to the Lord, if you talk to the Lord about your cares, he will flood your heart with his peace. We sing it, don't we, sometimes? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Why? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You're saying, but Pastor, are you saying that my daily job list, I just have to leave that and sit all day on the couch? You know that's not going to happen. And you know that's not what the Lord's saying. If you're a busy mum, you can't just say, children, I'm not going to feed you today. I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus. It's not going to happen. I will say this, though. If you take time to sit at the feet of Jesus, you'll probably approach those children different. Do you know what I find? The days when I either miss my devotion, and by God's grace, those are rare, but in the days where I've done it in the past, where I've missed my devotion and rushed off into the day, not only is my spirit not right, I actually am not as productive. Did you realize that? I don't know how it works. I guess it just comes back to when you honor the Lord, he'll take care of you and he'll sustain you. There's something about when you just take the time to sit before the Lord and read his word and pray, you actually go out into the day and very often you end up accomplishing more on that task list than you would have if you just torn off in the flesh. That doesn't make sense, though, doesn't it? Because you say, I'm sacrificing this time to have my devotion, and I've got all this stuff to do. Well, is it going to be in your strength or the Lord's? Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. Psalm 55:22. So the Lord just puts his finger on it. There was care in her heart. There was care there, anxiety. He also points out that there was commotion. He says, you're troubled. The word trouble there was a common word for a tumult. You say, what's a tumult? Well, a tumult is where you have a disturbance, like where you've got a multitude of people together, maybe like a riot. You've got noise, you've got uproar, you've got confusion of voices. How many of you have ever been in a large crowd and it's so much noise and it's disorientating? That's the picture of a tumult. And so you get the picture here. The Lord says, Martha, there's war in your heart and therefore there's war on the outside. Martha, you're all full of commotion and full of noise. Do you have a noisy soul? A noisy heart? There's commotion. And it just seems to be ingrained into our DNA. You just get, especially when it comes to getting things done, we can just get so distracted. How many of you find you come to pray, and as you start praying, all these things flood into your mind that you need to do? How many of you have had that experience? How many of you have knelt down to pray and within a couple of minutes, something pops into your mind and you get this great sense of urgency to get back up again? The other day I was kneeling and praying and I literally stood up and started walking towards my laptop and said, whoop, hang on, went and knelt back down again. What am I doing? That can wait. One thing is needful. A profound insight. The Lord Jesus just gives Martha this insight. He looks into her heart and diagnoses the problem. And this is often the problem with us. If you're a Martha, if you're tending to exhibit this kind of spirit, here's the problem. You're full of anxiety over things, over many things. You're troubled. There's commotion there. And what was the source of all that? Well, many things. There was a lot of things in her heart and in her mind, and a lot of things that she probably even legitimately needed to get done. But there was all this commotion going on in her life. Lord, I'm going to walk with you, spend time with you, and Lord, here's my job list. What you help, what I get through today, that's in your hands. And you get to the end of the day, and you didn't get that extra basket of washing done, you'll have to trust the Lord and go to bed instead of stressing out all night about it. You'll have to go to bed and trust the Lord that it'll be there for you tomorrow. One thing with to-do lists, they don't tend to go away. Some things on there, you can maybe have to chop off sometimes. Do you know what? That one there is just me. That's just one of my wants. And, I'm just burning the candle both ends on something that's just all me. That's just my idea. It's really not important. I can drop that one. No, I can't drop it. It's on the list. Excuse me, you put it on the list, you can take it back off. The list is not the scriptures. It's not sacred. I've written it on there. It's on the list. It's going to happen. No. Maybe the Lord might say that can drop down further on the list. Wise church members get to know they have to follow the pastor up to bump things up the list sometimes. I tell people, I don't mind. I'm not offended. If you've asked me for something, feel free to remind me about it because it bumps it up the list. It's the most urgent things get attended to first, and if things keep dropping down, it's not on purpose, of course. Sometimes it is, like that one there. That one there, I'll procrastinate on that one. I really don't want to have to deal with that. Profound insight. All stressed out. All full of commotion and noise. You know, we can have noisy hearts sometimes. Troubled. There's a multitude of noise in there. That's not how God wants us to live as the Christian life, and that's not how he wants us to approach serving him. Because the Lord is concerned about the heart behind our service. He's concerned about the spirit of our service. Let's remember that going into 2024. I'm not saying don't serve the Lord with passion. Let's serve the Lord with passion, but let's make sure it's flowing out of our time at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And not at the neglect of spending time at the feet of the Lord Jesus. That was the problem here. It had displaced that one needful thing. So then we come to the master's discourse. We note a profound insight. Then notice a pointed instruction. Look at what the Lord instructs Martha here. Martha, Martha, verse 41, thou art cumbered, careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. If you have a pen there, it'd be good for you to circle the phrase many things, verse 41, or underline, and then circle the phrase one thing. Let's just be honest. It's so often the many things that rob us of the one thing. So many times it's the many things that causes us to push aside the one thing, or to give it, to devalue it, or to give it less attention than it deserves. True? We're all guilty of this. Let's just humble ourselves before the Lord. We can be consumed by the many things to where we neglect the one thing. But the Lord Jesus said one thing is needful. That the word there has the idea of necessity. There's one thing that is a true necessity, which is interesting, isn't it? Because we talk about all the different needs in the Christian life. We need this. We need that. We need this renovation. We need to do this. We need to do that. We need to do this. We need to do that. We need to do this. We need to do that. And all these needs. And the Lord says, excuse me, there's one thing that's truly needful. There's one thing that's a necessity for your life. And that's to sit at my feet. The question that we have to ask ourselves is this: if spending time at the feet of Jesus is the one needful thing, why is it that we so often cut it short or neglect it for the many things? I think if we're honest, by our actions, we tend to regulate it to the one needless thing. True? Instead of making it the one needful thing, we relegate it to the one needless thing. It's a problem, isn't it, when all of our things take priority over the Lord's one thing. There's a problem, isn't there, when all of my things take priority over His one thing. Is everything right out there? Martha's on the job. No, I'm just joking. Okay. So obviously a need out there. Yeah, so it's Mary actually, yes. Yeah. What comes first in your life? What comes first in my life? Pastor, you're saying that's the only thing we have to do. No, no, no. We're to be zealous of good works. There's many acts of service the Lord wants from us. Maybe I'm repeating myself, but it's got to come out of that one thing. That's the power source. In 2024, so what resolutions should I make? Lose some weight, maybe. Exercise more, probably. Renovate the house, perhaps. Maybe it'd be good to say, I'll resolve to do one thing. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after. I'm going to resolve to spend more time in the house of God. That'd be a good resolution to make. One thing, I'm going to spend more time at the feet of the Lord Jesus. We've got to walk with God in 2024. We've got to make sure that our service is flowing out of our worship with the Saviour, of our time with the Saviour. Start the day with the Lord. And walk with the Lord throughout the day. Don't just relegate it to that either. Some people are great at following their devotions religiously and they go off and live like the devil the rest of the day because I've ticked the box. No, 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 no. I've had a great devotion today. I must be in for a great day. You might be in for a day full of battles, and that's why the Lord gave you an extra good devotion. Don't do it as a superstitious ritual. The Master's Discourse, profound insight, appointed instruction, finally a precious illustration. Mary is the illustration here that the Lord uses, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You're not going to take this away from Mary, Martha. You're wrong. She's made the right choice. underline that word chosen. Mary hath chosen that good part. We have a choice to make, don't we? Each and every day. Every day we have this choice. Am I going to take time to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus? Or am I just going to rush off like Martha with the many things? True. Do you have a daily devotional walk with the Lord? I don't want to assume anything, and I'm not trying to beat down on anybody. But do you, as a believer, have a daily time with the Lord? Yes, some Christians don't. They come to church on a Sunday. Well, that's why I come to church, to hear God's word preached. Wonderful, but don't rely on that alone. You need that personal audience with the Lord. Yes, come to church with the mindset to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus, to hear his word communicated through, to hear the word of the great shepherd communicated through, we trust, a spirit-filled, scripture-filled under-shepherd. Yes, by all means do that, but do you have a daily walk with God yourself? Or are you just consumed with the many things? It's really convicting, isn't it? Christ is concerned that our service be empowered by him and be done for his glory, the right motive. He's concerned not just about the quantity of our service, but about the quality of our service. What's your priority for this year? Resolve to have just one priority, to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, we pray that you'd help us with this, with every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many of you would say, Pastor, pray for me by God's grace this year? I need to put more emphasis on sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus in my personal life. Would you just raise your hand and say, pray for me? Yes, amen. Hands everywhere. Yes. And I haven't been walking with God. How many of you would say I've been consumed so often with the many things I've neglected the one needful thing? How many of you would be honest about that? Yes. May God help us. My hands raised too. We all need help in this, and may God help us. Lord, we just pray you'd help us. Thank you for all these humble hearts, Lord, and we do confess that so often the many things consume us to where we do neglect that one needful thing. But Lord, help us in 2024 to make it a priority to walk with you. Lord, to set aside the time in our daily schedule to sit at your feet, to read your word, to pray, to seek you, Lord. Help us to make it a priority in our church life, Lord, to come, to realize that we're coming every time there's a service, we're coming to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus. It's not about the pastor. It's not about those things. It's about coming to hear from you and to learn of you and to be taught, to be instructed. Give us that teachable heart, that passion to learn. And so, Lord, we pray you'd help us all. Help us to walk with you as a church this year. Lord, not just to be serving outwardly without walking with you inwardly. Keep us from that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to a closing hymn, 550 channels only. Since it's the start of the year, I'd like to encourage you to maybe consider just coming in and kneeling as we sing and just do business with the Lord and say, Lord, help me this year to resolve that one thing.